morning. I want everybody found it. If you haven't found, I want you to grab a Bible around you. If there's one in front of your chair, I want everybody to find Psalm 91. Because I want us to stand together. I'm going to read it as we're standing this morning. Psalms 91. So if you found it, you can please stand at this time. And I'm going to read this whole Psalms through as we're standing. I want you to hear the words of the Psalms, then we'll expound on what Scripture's saying. Beginning with verse 1, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now these last three verses is God speaking back to us. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Lord, we ask your hand upon this word today that you open our minds and our hearts to receive everything you have for us. Encourage us and lift us up, and let us leave here different than we came. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Let's get into what Psalm 91 is talking about. A wonderful, wonderful chapter of encouragement. And I want to entitle this message, I Am Secure. Isn't that a good thing to know that I am secure? We all want security. Men and women both want security. We want to feel like we belong to something and that person is not going to run out on us. We want security on our jobs. We want security in our marriages. We want security in our church. We want security. You know, when stuff keeps changing, we don't like that because human beings don't adapt to change very well. We like our routine. We like the way it is. And some of us are so routine. My parents are so, well, they used to be a little different now. They've changed a little bit. But what's still pretty routine. There are certain times a day I don't call because I bet they're taking a nap. And so I avoid the 2 to 4 o'clock hour. Happy hour. That's their happy hour. And so I avoid that and don't call because I don't want to wake them up unless it's an emergency, you know. And so it's amazing how we like our routine. You know, we get up a certain time. Most of us get up a certain time every morning within a 30-minute time period most time. We work the same kind of schedule most time. We have dinner about the same time most evenings. We go to bed about the same time every night. And we like that. We like that routine. We're comfortable with that because we can trust that. Well, we are putting our trust, many people are putting their trust in a displaced place. We're putting in things that don't accomplish anything. We're putting our trust in people that can't help us, situations that doesn't change anything. But if we put our trust in God, we will be secure. God is faithful to keep that which we have committed to Him, the Bible says, against that day. I'm going to go through a lot of things. I'm going to suffer a lot of things. Did you realize the sins of your future were forgiven by the cross of the past? That the sins of your future, I want you to hear this, the sins of your future were forgiven by the cross of the past. Because all of us were born into sin 2,000 years ahead of time of when Christ died for us. So every sin we commit on earth is a future sin according to Calvary. And Jesus died for that, that we could be secure in our salvation. Being secure is a very important thing because if we're not secure in our walk with God, then we can't have any joy in our walk with God or any peace in our walk with God or any power or authority. How can we pray for things to change if we're not sure if we're on the brim of hell or heaven? We can't. But when we know by the blood of Jesus, I am secure in that which Christ has did for me, I can walk with boldness and power and joy and victory, knowing where I stand. I'm on this side of Calvary, thank the Lord, because of what He did. And my works doesn't merit my salvation, but the blood of Jesus has already accomplished that for me. I am secure today. I'm secure tomorrow. I'm secure forever in Jesus Christ. That's something that ought to make us shout for joy, because that's one thing we can bank on. Your job may close. Your wife may leave. Your child may rebel. Your money may run out. Your car may be repossessed. But the one thing that stays is the steadfastness, security of eternal life in Christ Jesus. I will not die. The devil can't take that. The devil can't steal that. The devil can't disrupt that. And the devil can't distract that. I am sealed to the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit, which I have received. Thank God for that security. We can put up a lot of hell on earth, and we know hell's not in us. Isn't that a great thing? I can endure a lot of things on earth to know that there's a promise waiting on me to walk into, an eternal realm that God has set aside, ordained from the foundation of the world for His people. And He went to prepare that place, John says, that where He is, there I may be also. He's preparing a place for the future, that there will be a future for all of His people. This is not it. These few short years on earth does not define our life. It's only a process. It's only a transformation. It's only a temporary cycle to deliver us into. See, the earth, the life we live here on the earth, we could call the womb life. We're inside the womb. But when we cross over, the birth takes place. We're only in the womb stage, but there's a day the birth's coming forth. We'll walk into the fullness of what God has for us. So be encouraged and be uplifted. We are still God's child. We are His seed, yet we're not fully manifested, but we will be. And those that have gone on have been birthed into a place of full maturity that all of us long and wait to see one day. Thank God for that. That's our promise. Glory to God. I ain't even read the first verse yet. Verse 1. I won't go through all this. A few verses I want to point out. Verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place. The word dwelleth means to remain, to settle, to marry. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me make this point. Don, come here a minute. Pretend I'm the Lord. Oh, I've got to be God, okay, because I'm the preacher. I'm the Lord, and this is my child, spiritually. This is my seed. And I'm the Lord. Let's do a different example. Let's do something we understand. We're real earthly minds. Let's do earthly stuff. All right? I'm the bouncer. He's the payee to the bouncer. I'm packed on both sides. Loaded and ready to roll. So here, you follow me. Here's what I'm doing. We go to a Walmart. Here I am. Did you look at him bad? Huh? No. Okay. Just stay with me, Don. Just stay with me. Everywhere I go, he stays with me. You know what? He's under the shadow. He has my protection. He has my provision. I've got his back. I would give my life if Courtney was 10 times bigger and had 4 guns on him. I would go down screaming like a little girl. I would go down fighting. Thank you, Don. You said it. As long as Don remained with me, I protect him. Kind of the president we see, or any official that has a posse that goes ahead of them, and, you know, they feel safe because they're being protected. If we are under the shadow of the Almighty, if we abide there, we are under His shadow, which means that everywhere I go, God's presence goes with me. Everywhere I go, I can't escape the presence of God as long as I remain under His shadow. That's a beautiful thing to realize. God, I never want to leave Your shadow. I want to be under Your covering always. You know, I realized something, and this will help some of you, maybe to get over some past guilt or hurts. But we're celebrating 10 years of ministry coming up in July. It'll be 10 years. And we have something very big in the process. I've got to get with the board. I've got to get some ideas. We're going to plan a big deal for our 10-year anniversary. It's going to be a big deal. We're excited to honor people who've been with us, and it's going to be a big deal. But I've learned through the years, and God spoke this to my heart yesterday. Just spoke it right into my spirit. And God does still speak to us. Understand? And He's not sitting across the table with a cup of coffee. Hi, James. But He speaks to me. And He spoke this into my spirit that, and this will help you, that when people leave your life, they broke the fellowship. You didn't. They broke the fellowship. And then that fellowship is broken until they restore that fellowship. Now really think about this. It'll get you over some hurts of people that you don't know, and you worry, and you got such, and you try to, you know, you're always stressed, you're trying to chase them down, and but they broke the fellowship. And so, spiritually speaking, we break the fellowship with God, and then we're out of His covering. And we blame God for not hearing us, for not listening to us, for not being there for us. No. So many people I talk to, they have chosen to live their life their own way. God remains. He's not went nowhere. He didn't push Carolyn out. Get out of this circle. God never breaks fellowship. We break fellowship with Him. We break our fellowship through not praying, through not meditating, through not coming to church, through not giving, through not serving, through not acknowledging, through not witnessing. We break the fellowship. God's there all the time. Don't pray, God, just come to... No, you left God at the altar, so to speak. You left Him at the altar. So we must abide under the shadow. As we do that, we're covered by all He has for us. Don't you want your trust in something more than your money? I mean, really think about that. We can't control gas prices. My trust sure isn't in OPEC. My trust sure isn't in Iran's going to get sweet all of a sudden and nice. We love Americans. No. My trust sure ain't in that. My trust is in the Lord. We must trust the Lord. Even on our money, for now, it's still printed in God we trust. And I want to... Thank you. And I want to say this. Just like Maverick trusts Mama. Maverick ain't got no worries. He don't even realize it being brainwashed with that Kentucky suit. He don't even know it. He's just at the mercy of adults. Doc just showing off this morning. Anyway. Oh, boy. I got thinking that I was studying yesterday that this came to my spirit that, and I want you to hear this. If we really say our trust is in the Lord, should that trust ever truly be shaken? Now really think, absorb this. If my trust is in God, should my trust really ever be shaken? Trust in my job? Yes, that's going to be shaken. Trust in people? Absolutely. Trust in a preacher? Yeah. But trust in God? If our trust in God is truly shaken, then what we're saying is that we don't really believe God is able to keep that which we've trusted Him with. See, I've trusted God with my life, Joe. You have too. With your soul, you've given God your soul. And when we give God our soul, we're saying, God, you've got my soul from this moment forevermore. I trust you with my soul. If we can trust Him with our soul, the most important thing we have, because it's the only thing that goes on forever, can we not trust Him with things in the earth, in this kingdom that we've been born into? Can we not trust Him with all of that? Trust Him with our marriages, our family, our relationships, our money, our everything. God, my trust is in you. If my trust is in God, can it really be shaken? Because that's saying, God, I don't trust that you can really keep that which I've put into your hands. Now, I know we're challenged because here's what happens. The trust we put in God gets distracted by things we see in the earth. And so when things aren't going the way we see it here, we begin to lose that trust. Not knowing that all along God is working and God has got in control what we need in our lives. If we'll just sit back and let Him lead our lives. Just let Him lead us. It's like your children trust you for everything. They trust you to feed them, to clothe them, to provide a house. They trust you. They don't worry about those things. It's automatic trust. Mom and Dad took care of me. If it's a cardboard box, they trust you. Well, we got a cardboard box. Nice and one on the block. You know, I trust Mom and Dad. We could have that same trust in God. Read that next verse, Melanie, verse 2. Melanie, read verse 2. She was not asleep, I promise. Read verse 2. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. In God is who I trust. If we could really wrap our minds around that and realize that I don't have to see it not to trust God. I don't see my home right now, but I trust it's still standing there. I don't see my car in a parking lot, but I trust it hasn't been stolen. Still out there. I trust it's still there. We got a cat and a dog in the house. I trust the dog hadn't ate the cat. Or the cat hadn't scratched the dog. I trust that. There's a lot of things we can't see, but we trust that it's still in place. How much greater should we trust that God knows what He's doing and that as His children, everything is in His plan for our lives. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love Him, to those that are the called. We are the called. We are the saved. We are the elect. And every situation, whether we see it or not, is working for our good. That's hard to understand in times of tragedy or loss or grief or pain or frustration or fear or torment. But all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I just got to trust that. Don't understand it, because there are times I'm like, God, you cannot be in this. But I have to trust that I'm His child and that He loves me. And that when I can't hear His voice or see Him, He's still there. He doesn't leave me. He doesn't ever forsake me, because He is my fortress. In Him will I trust. Verse 3, Mallon. Stay in the chapter, baby. I know we're talking about this. You can look at that later. Verse 3. He will deliver us. God's still in the delivery business. He sets us free. He delivers us from every trap the enemy tries to set. Now, we are secure. This is not saying we don't have no problems. I'm not a preacher. You won't ever hear me say this. Oh, get saved and you're above all things. And you know, no problems ever happen. And you'll never be sick. And you'll never have any problems. And you'll never go through no issues. And you'll never not have any money. No, that's not what the Bible is speaking of. We're talking about being secure in Christ. Spiritually secure, that no matter what tries to entrap me, it cannot take away or entrap what God has already done for me. See, I am sealed, I am saved, I am born again, I am redeemed, I've been bought back, I've been justified, glorified, sanctified, I have been reconciled back unto Him through the blood, and nothing can ever change that. Nothing can change that. Don't listen to preaching that's got you saved today and lost tomorrow. I am saved because of Jesus. Because I've given my life to Him, and He's able and faithful to keep that no matter what trap tries to come my way. The devil still uses condemnation and guilt as his greatest tool to discourage God's people. Reminding us of how unworthy. Reminding us of this. There's no way, man. Shelly, the way you act sometimes, there ain't no way you're God's child. Maybe the devil's child, but you my child. You ain't God's child. Maybe you are. And I'm like, and so Shelly has to say, you know what? I'm not going to listen to that noise and that lie. I know what I've done. I know who I've given my heart to. And I'm not going to let condemnation and guilt and the past or even the present discourage me from knowing I am the seed of God. I'm going to fail. We're all going to fail. We're all going to mess up. We're all going to make mistakes. I've not met one perfect Christian yet. Have you? In fact, I've met probably more perfect sinners than I have Christians. Can I get amen now? I mean, goodness gracious. You go to any bar, they'll accept you like you are. Hey, buddy, come on over here. I ain't seen you alone. You could be broke as Job turkey. It don't matter. Come on over, buddy. Let's catch up, man. Hey, this one on me. Give him what I got. And you're talking and having a good time. Then you walk into a Walmart after that and run to a Christian. You ain't been at church for 3 weeks. You backsliding? You backsliding? Don't backslide. Let me lay hands on you. In Jesus' name, come back. I mean, my Lord, I'd rather go to the bar. Accept me as I am. That's what Jesus does. He accepts us as we are. My God, He saved Doc. He can save anybody. Hallelujah. Joe Brown said, amen. I mean, God can do anything. Skip down to verse 7. Read verse 7. I'll get to verse 7. A thousand will fall at thy right side. 10,000, or whatever, at thy left side, whatever it says. 10,000 will fall, but it will not come nigh thee. Here's what I wrote. Let me read what I wrote. I read that verse, and I've read this verse a bunch of times through my life. But God just so clearly spoke as I read this verse. Verse 7. I'm not part of the wicked that shall fall, but I'm part of the righteous that shall rise. I'm not part of the wicked that's going to fall. This is what verse 7 is talking about. Though they'll fall on this side, and though they'll fall on this side, it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Death cannot take me. The enemy cannot steal me. I am not part of the wicked anymore for that judgment, but I'm now part of the righteous that's escaped that judgment through Jesus Christ. So let all come around me. I am secure by the blood of Jesus. And no matter what hits my way, I cannot go by the way of the grave according to the Word of God. I've escaped death forevermore. Thank God for that. So the wicked, I'm not part of the wicked that shall fall, but I'm part of the righteous that shall rise. We are part of the righteous of God, that we are going to rise into the fullness of all God has waiting on us. The shift that we're feeling now in the spiritual realm, the shift that's taking place, we're a part of that shift. We are a part of what God is doing. We are part of that process of stepping in and growing in to what God has for us. And there will be a point and a day that all knowledge will be known to us, and we'll walk into everything God has prepared and planned. Peter tells us that there's a crown waiting on us, an inheritance waiting on us that's undefiled, unfading. It can't fade away. It can't grow old. It's reserved for us in heaven. It's reserved. See, our fullness is already reserved. It's been put on layaway, so to speak, and paid for, waiting on us to pick it up. There's a day this mortal's going to put on immortality, and this corruptible's going to put on incorruption. And I will say, death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy sting? That is the promise of God's people. That is our hope and our future and our glory. So get ready and be prepared. How do we do that? It's not through our works, not through our good deeds. It is through accepting and serving Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. When others deny Him, we proclaim Him. When others reject Him, we receive Him. When others say He's not alive, we say He's alive in me forevermore. We must claim Jesus to escape death, hell, and the grave. We are not part of the wicked, but we are part of the righteous. Aren't you glad for that? It's only 10 to 10. I got an hour left. Praise Jesus. Jeremy, change that clock sometime for me. I want you to skip down to verse 14, 15, 16. This turns speakership here. God now is speaking to man, to us, in verse 14, 15, 16. Before it was man talking about God. Verse 14, because He, talking about any of us, has set His love upon me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, I will answer him. He will call upon me. God never failed to answer us. We must be very clear of something. It may not be the answer we're desiring. It may not be the answer we want, but God has promised to answer us if we call upon him. Now here's what we got to do sometimes to hear the answer. We got to silence things around us. Silence people, silence distractions. And get in a quiet place sometimes and say, God, speak to me. I want to hear what you got to say. I'm telling you, when you're in a quiet place, that's why I love coming here to church. I come here by myself, and Melanie's over here just playing on doors and her. That's not true. I come over here to get in a quiet place. Like she'll call up here sometimes, what you doing? I'm at the church. Well, I know. What you doing? Well, okay, I'm praying. You got to know all the things, you know. I'm over here playing horseshoes with Don inside the sanctuary. I mean, what do you mean, what am I doing? It's because sometimes I'm leaving a message of spiritual encouragement. Thank you. So anyway, it's so quiet over here by yourself. It's awesome. And I made this invitation before, and I want to make sure everybody knows. If you want time in the church, all you got to do is call. There's so many people who've got a key in the church. Actually, Jordan has a key. Don has a key. But if you need some time, you just want to come to church and pray. Something about being in the church is just, you know, it's just nice. Call somebody. Going, no problem. Any of us come and let me in, leave me alone, walk back up later. That's not a problem. We can't leave it open all the time. We'd love to. But you know, this will be gone next Sunday, and that will be gone next Sunday, so we can't leave it open. But if you want to come, spend time, do it. But anyway, I come over here, and it's so quiet, and it's so still. And as I'm just in here, just listening for God, it's amazing how much you can hear from God when you make time to listen. You know, I know I'm a failure at listening to my wife a lot. It's just a man thing. It's how we're built. Ladies, we mean no offense. We just can't help it. I promise. I try. We were in the living room one night. I put toothpicks in my eyes to make sure I looked. And didn't. I can't help it. I just lose it. After a while, I'm like, Melanie, get the facts. I just want the bullet points. That's why men love headline news and sports facts. All we want is headlines. We don't need to know all the details of what kind of socks they were wearing, what color jersey they had on, how their hair looked, which tattoo they got on their right shoulder. I don't care. Did they win? Just tell me. That's all I need to know. So anyway, I fail to listen to Melanie, and I know I do a lot of times. I don't mean to. I hang in there as long as I can. I promise I do. And I'm like, okay. But aren't you glad God isn't like us? Aren't you glad that God will endure my tongue as long as I want to talk? As long as I want to pray, God will endure me. I can talk. I can bear my problems. I can be mad. I can be angry. I can be afraid. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, I'm afraid. Help my fear. God, I'm mad. I'm angry. I know it's not right. Help me with my anger. Nothing wrong with that. God knows our hearts anyway. He knows what we're going through. He feels our pain. The Bible says that He feels every infirmity. On that cross, He took every infirmity to experience what we would ever go through in life. So it's okay to talk to God and bare your heart. And the great thing is God listens as long as you talk, and then God will respond and answer you back. You never really heard God speak. Try. You don't have to go to a psychic or some kind of, you know, a preacher even. I mean, it's you and God. Just begin to pray and talk to God, and He will give you the answers of your heart if you speak to Him. So I just challenge you to try that, but you got to get in a quiet place. Get away from the kids, away from the noise, away from, you can't have TV on while you're doing it, trying to watch a game or a movie and in between commercials, you know, okay, God, 3 minutes. Are you going to answer me in this 3 minutes before the commercial goes off? It don't work that way. We have to give God time to speak to us. There are times in the car, and I love listening to radio in my car. And I love listening to, you know, I listen to music. I listen to talk radio a lot. Drive my wife crazy. Like, she falls asleep every time. But I listen to different things on the radio. And there's times, nothing wrong with AM. It's still very strong. Power to AM. There you go. There, Tammy. Yeah. That's good. Tammy does too. Thank you very much. That ain't for old people. AM is for people that want information and that desire knowledge. Anyway, there's times in my car I'll turn everything off. And I just want quiet time. And I won't even talk to God. I'll just kind of be quiet, not say nothing. Just be driving and get my mind just blank. And as I'm doing that, it's amazing how God begins to drop things in my spirit. So we have to turn off the distractions sometimes and turn off the noise. Have a place to go. It may be your shed out in the backyard. Go out there and, you know, just, yeah, you've done it before. I remember telling that story. Go out and find you a place away from everything to where you can talk to God and say, God, I'm calling upon you. Your word said you would answer me. So I'm waiting on an answer. And God will. Let's finish reading the last two verses so I can get you out of here this morning. Verse 15, He shall call upon me, I will answer, I will be with him in trouble. I'll be with him in trouble. We all have trouble, and God's still with us in that trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, I love verse 16. It didn't hit me, I don't think, until this, when I was meditating on this for this Sunday, out of all these years. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, I always picture that, maybe you did too, as long life being long earthly life. But this is God speaking to man. I will satisfy you with long life. What's longer than eternity? Nothing. That hit me. I've read that verse I don't know how many times, and that hit me. God promised to give us long life. And that could be long earthly life in earthly years. People can live to be 90, 95, be in good health. That's wonderful. But still no time compared to eternity. God's promised to give me and satisfy. You know what satisfy means? It means to feel a craving. There's certain things you're craving. Like some of you already are probably thinking about what you're going to do for lunch. You're sitting there thinking, am I in the mood for a Golden Corral? Am I in the mood for a Captain's Galley? Am I in the mood for New Pablo's? Do I want Mexican? Do I want fish? Do I want steak? Which one do I want? And you know what? There's nothing that'll really complete you food-wise unless you give yourself what you're craving. There's something about that. You know, you can just eat a meal. I mean, you can be stuffed full. Walk out into the Walmart parking lot and smell steak grilling. Don't it still smell good? You can be almost ready to throw up piece of food. But when you smell that steak, gosh, steak smells good. There ain't nothing like a steak cooking for a smell. Nothing. So there's certain things we crave, and nothing satisfies except what we're truly craving. God's promised to satisfy us with long life. You know why? Because human beings crave to live forever. Do you hear me? We crave to live forever. Nobody in their natural mind that's got normal things in their life going on, nobody wants to leave the earth before. They don't want to leave the earth. I don't wake up every morning saying, okay, God, take me home. I'm ready right now. Like Don has made very clear, I am prepared, just not ready. Nobody, you know what? Our body automatically fights to live. Through sickness, through disease, through our body fights to live. Because we were created to live forever. And though we don't in the earthly shell, we do in the spiritual realm. And that's why we still have that craving inside to always want to live. We want to live as long as we can. We just, life just is that way. And so God has promised to satisfy that hunger, that eternal living hunger, with long life. God's speaking that to us. I will never die because of what Jesus did. I passed from death unto life forever. Thank God for that. We didn't read the whole chapter, I realize. You can study that later, or Mel can get back to it since you didn't focus this morning. Get back to Psalm 91. Oh, did I? Oh, Mel putting her Bible. I preached on this July 5th, 09. So that's been three years. Yeah, clearly. Church, I hope you got some out of the Word this morning. Jesus is the only way to go, period. He's the only way to go. The only way you'll be secure forever is in Him. That's how we can take security. It is so wonderful to minister. I call it a privilege. It's a heartache for the family. But for the person that's going on, it's a privilege. When someone has died that knows the Lord, it's a great honor to recognize where they are and to know they have inherited something that we crave. They walk into something that we desire. And one day, as believers, we'll all walk in that. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. If you bow your head with me for a minute, I want to close out in prayer this morning. For every heart here, for every mind that heard the word, for every spirit, I pray it be received. Let us leave here with something inside of us we did not come in with. Let us realize that the only security we have, Lord, the only security we have is in You. It's not in the world or anything the world has. If we gain the whole world and lose our soul, what has a man profited? Nothing. Nothing. Let us, Lord, understand and receive Your love and Your mercy and Your grace for our lives. Touch each heart. Let them feel Your love, that You love them, accept them just as they are. And we give You thanks and praise that we can be secure forevermore in You and have joy in our salvation. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.